welcome to the program Old Testament Prophets with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Shalom, shalom aleichem. The peace of God be with you. My name is Father Mitchell Pacwa. I'm a Jesuit priest, and I teach Old Testament in Chicago at Loyola University. And in this series on the prophets, we're going through the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, we finished up one section of the prophet Isaiah that deals with the condemnation of the people for not having faith, and how in spite of that, the Lord will punish them, but still lead them to some salvation and a leader. And that's in chapter 9, the first six verses. But now, we're going to take a look at another section where the prophet Isaiah is no longer speaking to his own people in Judah, but now he's addressing the people of the north and the people of Assyria. So these are prophecies to the northerners. And remember, the northerners were the ones who attacked Judah in order to force Judah to join them in a rebellion against Assyria. And this northern coalition against Judah is bound to be a failure. That's Isaiah's message. So let's take a look at what he's got to say to them who try to conspire against the Lord. We start off in chapter 9, verse 7. And your Bibles might have this as verse 8. The English translation is frequently beginning here with verse 8, but the Hebrew is verse 7. And from chapter 9, verse 7, all the way to chapter 10, verse 4, we see one segment that is four different oracles. Let's take a look at them one at a time. The first oracle is in chapter 9, verse 7 to 11. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it has fallen upon Israel. Now, Jacob and Israel are two different names for the same person. Remember that Jacob was the one who wrestled with the angel, and afterwards his name was changed to Israel, that is, the one who wrestles with God. So it's the same person, two different ways to say the same thing. And it refers to the northern kingdom. Okay? And it says, and all the people shall know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria. Now Samaria was the capital city of the north. Those who say in pride and in arrogance of heart, bricks fell down, but we're going to build with cut stones. And the sycamores are cut down, but we're going to put cedars in the place of the sycamores. In other words, sure we had, you know, poor quality buildings before, bricks, and sure we got attacked and the Assyrians came in, but that was just temporary. We're going to build something better afterwards, and we just let the Assyrians come in and take us. And we're going to put stone that's been all cut and made nice instead of bricks. Okay. And so he says, therefore, that is because of your arrogance, because of this pride of yours, Yahweh sets upon high the foes of Retzin, and he spurs his enemies. Now, again, remember, Retzin was the king of Damascus. And as the king of Damascus, he was the ally of the northern Israelites. And the Lord is going to have the enemies of Retzin come after him and destroy him. And the Arameans on the east and the Philistines on the west, all of these are going to destroy Retzin. And they will devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger, that is the Lord's anger, is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. In other words, the political and military foes of the north, of Damascus and also of northern Israel are going to defeat the arrogant Israelites who think that this little defeat they had is nothing, so they're going to have something better later on. That's arrogance. And they're going to be defeated, and the Lord's anger is not going to be turned away from them. And His hand is going to be outstretched to them in order to smite them, to hit them, to give them a good crack across the back of the head. Now, the next oracles in verses 12 through 16. And here the prophet Isaiah explains why the northerners have gone astray so much that they're going to be destroyed. He says, "And still the people does not turn to the one who smites them." That is to the Lord. He's has his hand out to them. He's smiting them. He's spanking them. And they don't turn to Him. They don't seek the Lord of hosts, who is the mighty one. He's the real power. Not the houses of stone and cedar, but He's the mighty one. They don't turn to Him. Therefore, this is the punishment now for their sin of not turning to Him. Yahweh cuts off from Israel the head and the tail, palm branch and rush in one day. Now, what's he talking about? He explains it in verse 14. The elder and the man of rank is the head. The false prophet is the tail. In other words, he's saying that the reason that the northerners are going astray is because they have bad leadership. That the head, that is, the elders of the people, who should be telling them from wisdom how to live, and the false prophets. Prophets should be given the word of God. But no, the prophets are saying, "Hey, we're Israel. We can do what we want. You prophets are out there saying that we are the best ones of all and nobody can beat us." And then the people go off foolishly to fight against the Assyrians when it is not God's will. And you know we have the same problem, don't we? We can find a false prophet, somebody who says in the name of God that it's okay even to have orgies. There's some folks who start new religions saying that sexual immorality is what God wants. And there have been such groups to say that. There have been some groups who say that, you know, America can do whatever it wants. Just like in old days, Russia could do anything it wanted. And there'd be all kinds of religious leaders to say such things. And we have to be discerning. Discerning whether or not somebody who's speaking such stuff is really a true prophet or a false prophet. Is it a prophet who's also willing to tell us that we're doing something sinful? Or is it a prophet who will just prophesy for the sake of getting money off of it? Some people preach against other religions. They'll say that Catholicism is bad, Judaism is evil, or something like that. And such kind of a false prophet will do so, as I've heard, because it sells. That's a false prophet. That's someone who lets the leadership and the crowd or the mob wag the tail. Okay? That's not the way it should be. And because of false prophets in ancient Israel, they're going to be destroyed. And not only that, but it says here the palm branch and the rush. That is, the wealthy people and the leaders, as well as the poor people. Why? Because they cause this people to err, and it's because of them that they'll be destroyed. Now, we ourselves can't ever follow any false prophets, but instead we must follow the Lord. We're looking at the prophet Isaiah and his oracles against the northern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom that attacked Judah. And we see in chapter 9, verse 17, or in your English translation, probably verse 18, we see the third of his oracles against the north. He starts off and he says, "Wickedness burns like a fire. It devours the briars and the thorns, and it makes a fire burn in the underbrush of the forest. And it rolls up in thick clouds of smoke." And what's he talking about there? He's saying that this destruction and punishment is going to wipe out even the little people. Sure, the problem comes from bad leaders who lead the people astray and from false prophets who lead the people astray. But they're going to get burned up and destroyed too because they follow the false prophets. That's why it says here in verse 18, "Through the wrath of the Lord, Yahweh of hosts, is the land burned up. And the people are like the fuel of a fire. and no one spares his own brother. So that the people are, then as he explains his imagery of fire, they're going to get all consumed. And, you know, isn't that the way it is in so many wars? The leaders make bad decisions, but it's the common folks who suffer the most. They're the soldiers, the foot soldiers who get killed, and they're the ones whose houses get taken away from them. And it's so pitiful for them that they should have that happen to them. Think about how many people throughout Europe suffered during World War II because of the bad decisions of leadership. And then he goes on here in verse 19 in the same oracle. He says, one grabs on the right and he's still hungry. He eats with his left hand and he's not filled up. They eat everyone their own arm. They eat their own flesh. Now, he's talking about here how people are fighting against one another. This eating that he describes here is an image of battle. And that the people of the north are fighting against each other. When the Assyrians come down, they're fighting against each other in the north, so that the different tribes are having something of a civil war in the midst of an attack by the enemy. What a horrible thing. So that's what he means by they eat the flesh of their own arm. And he says in verse 20, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh. And they are together against Judah. Now Manasseh is one of the northern tribes, and was most closely related to the tribe of Ephraim, because both Manasseh and Ephraim were the children of Joseph. And together they take his place among the 12 tribes. And these two brothers are fighting against each other. And then they fight against Judah. So there's all this civil war going against one another inside their own country. And it's a horrible thing to have happen. But that's the result of the people having bad leadership. And it says, as we see again this refrain now in verse 20, for all this his anger is not turned away and his hand is still stretched out. That is the hand of the Lord. This is still part of his punishment against them in his anger. Then the fourth of these oracles is in chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. And this is against the unjust lawmakers. And this is a woe oracle to say that these lawmakers are already as good as dead. For woe to those who decree unrighteous, unjust decrees, unjust laws. And to those who write iniquity, who turn aside the needy people from judgment, and to take away the rights of the poor of my people, so that widows are who they rob, and that they make the orphans their prey. But what an awful thing when the leadership, the ones to whom we entrust the laws, take away the rights of the weak, the rights, for instance, in our own country, the rights of the unborn being taken away from them by unjust lawmakers. Not in the sense that they were put into their position unlawfully, but rather, people who make decisions in favor of abortion are going against the justice of God, against those who are unborn. And it's not just them. There are all sorts of other laws that end up hurting those who are weak and poor. And lawmakers have to see it as their job to help take care of the poor. And you and I who vote, we have to make sure that we vote for lawmakers who love the poor and try to help them out with common sense and with justice. Not just for a dole, you know, it's not just giveaway programs, but to really take care of the poor so that their needs are met. Because God, who loves the poor so specially, as we see here in the prophet Isaiah, God will take vengeance on us if we neglect those who are poor. We also have to do the same with poor countries. We who are so wealthy in this nation must make sure that we, in the choices we make about law, help those who are poor, like in Africa and other places. Then if we take care of the poor, the Lord will bless us. The prophet says to those who don't care for the poor, in verse 3 of chapter 10, what will you do in the day of visitation, the day of punishment? Because the word for visitation means in Hebrew the same thing as punishment, pakaz. Okay, same thing. What will you do on that day, and in the ruin which shall come from far away? To whom will you flee for help? Where will you leave your wealth So you have unjust laws that help you to make sure you have lots of wealth. You can abort babies so that you don't have to suffer and have economic deprivation. But what are you going to do with that wealth on the day of the Lord? It's not going to help you. They can do nothing except crouch, except hide underneath other captives. And they can fall underneath those who are already slain. That is, they can hide and pretend that they're dead. And for all this, the Lord's anger is not turned away and His hand is stretched out still. So the northern kingdom is judged very severely by the prophet Isaiah. And we ourselves have to examine our own national conscience to make sure that we as a nation do not go against God's law. We can't judge another nation's conscience. That's not our job. Because we're going to be judged for what we do, not for what some other country does. But you and I have to make sure that we follow the sense of righteousness, good leaders and good leadership, so that we don't undo the effects of God's grace among us by allowing leadership that is unjust and unrighteous to be our leaders. The next thing that Isaiah is going to do is turn away from bringing all this criticism on the people of Israel, and now he's going to turn his attention to Assyria. Now, the Assyrians were the ones who were God's instrument of punishment. They were the ones who were sent by God to wipe out the Israelites, but they liked it too much. We're looking at the prophet Isaiah in chapter 10, verse 5 and following, and the oracles he gives against Assyria, the one that was sent to punish northern Israel by attacking them, okay? And we see here, Hoi Ashur. Now here's a woe oracle. Starts off with the word for woe. Hoi. Hoi Ashur. Ashur is the Hebrew word for Assyria. The rod of my anger, in whose hand is my indignation like a staff. In other words, that the Lord's indignation against Israel is in the hand of Assyria like a stick. Like, as a matter of fact, instead of a staff, it could better be said a mace. To conk him on the head. Bash him in a little bit. And so, he says here to Assyria, I send him, that is Assyria, against an ungodly nation, that is Israel. And against the people of my wrath do I give him a charge. I give him a commandment. I tell him what to do against this people. And I tell him to take the spoil and the prey. Now here, listen to that. What was the name of Isaiah's young son, his second boy? The spoil is quick and the prey hastens. Okay? Well, here it is. He's saying that this is going to take place here. And Assyria is the one that's hastening. Okay? So this is bringing to truth and bringing into reality the meaning of the name of Isaiah's second son. And that he's sent to tread them down like the mire of the streets. That he's to tread down Israel like the mire of the streets. But this is the problem. But he, that is Assyria, does not really perceive or understand. Neither does his heart think about this. But his heart wants to destroy and wipe out and cut off not a few nations, but lots of nations. Okay? So this Assyria likes too much to do this punishment. It enjoys it. Now that's not right. It's just like with a child. It may be very legitimate to spank a child, but once a parent gets into the role of enjoying giving punishment and becoming an abuser of punishment and a child abuser, that is a serious sin. Well, that's the way Assyria was. Assyria liked being the means of punishment. And he says here, and we see in verses 8 through 11, when your translation is 9 through 12, he says, are not my princes all kings? And is not Calno like Carchemish, and Hamat like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? Now what's he saying here? The king of Assyria is saying that all of my captains are as powerful as the kings around me. They're powerful, they're strong, because they're mine. And also this other part here, Carchemish and Arpad and Damascus were three cities already taken by the Assyrians. Okay? He already took those towns. And when he took Carchemish, for instance, he wiped out the Hittite power. Okay? And he's saying now these other towns of Calno is also just as much like, you know, Carchemish. It's going to be wiped out too. Okay? And as a matter of fact, in 738, about 6 years before these words are spoken, Tiglath-Pileser, the king of the Assyrians, took Calno. Okay? And Hamath is like Arpad. He had taken Arpad. Hamath was a city in northern Israel. And in Samaria is the capital of northern Israel. And he's saying it's going to be wiped out like Damascus. So he's arrogant. He said, I can do what I want. Okay? And just like my hand reached out to destroy kingdoms with idols, who had more idols than did Jerusalem and Samaria, therefore won't I do the same to Samaria and Jerusalem? In other words, look, you Jews, you have a few idols. So the king of Assyria recognizes that the Israelites were keeping some idols, okay? But you just have a few that shouldn't have had any, now should they? We know that having an idol is against the first commandment, right? Having other gods, that's against the first commandment. But he says, you've got a few of them. And look, I can wipe out cities and countries that have way more idols than you do. So, I'm going to wipe you out. Okay? So he's very arrogant, this King Tiglath-Pileser. And as a matter of fact, that exactly fits all the Assyrian inscriptions about him. And so we see here, what's the Lord going to do to this arrogant, arrogant kingdom? We see here in verses 12 to 14 that he's going to be wiped out and destroyed for his arrogance. In verse 12 it says, therefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has done all his work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria. In other words, the Lord said, look, I'm going to use you, Assyria. I'm going to let you be the means to punish Jerusalem because of their sins, because they have idols. So you'll be a means of punishment, to be sure. But when I'm finished with Jerusalem, you are next, buddy. You're going to catch your lunch just like they are. And you'll get it from somebody else. And the reason for, he says in verse 13, the reason for it is because the Assyrians say, by the strength of my hand I've done it. By my own wisdom, I am prudent, I'm smart. And because of that, I've removed the boundaries of other peoples. In other words, I did this. I did it my way. That's what the Assyrians are saying. I did what I wanted. And because I did what I want, things go my way. And that he took all the riches of the nations. And the Lord is going to dispute that. So that we see here in verse 15 that the Lord answers him and said, should the axe boast against the one who cuts with it? Should the saw make itself great against the one who moves it back and forth? Or does a rod move the one who lifts it up? Or is it a staff that can lift up the one that is not wood? What's he saying here? Look, does an axe or a saw or a stick control human beings? Or are not these things tools in the hands of people? All right? That's the question. So this is an oracle from wisdom and a wisdom saying. And what the Lord is saying here is, look, you better get yourself straight. I'm God, and you're just an instrument. You're a tool. And you, as a tool of my will, still have to obey my laws. And because of your arrogance and pride, I will destroy you. And that's what he says here in verses 16 through 19. Therefore says Yahweh, the Lord, the Yahweh of hosts, that he will send among his fat ones skinniness. And among under his glory there shall be kindled a fire like the burning of fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire and the Holy One a flame. In other words, God says, I am going to be like a fire to destroy you arrogant ones, you proud Assyrians. And we ourselves must avoid all arrogance and let God be a light, not a destruction.